In Beirut, protests over the Lebanese government's response to this week's deadly explosion turned violent today. Lebanese riot police fired tear gas at protesters in Beirut's city center. Some protesters set fires and threw objects at police. There's been widespread anger at government officials over corruption and incompetence at failing to prevent the massive blast on Tuesday, which killed at least 158 people, injured 6,000, and left hundreds of thousands homeless. More than 2,000 tons of explosive ammonium nitrate had been stored at the port for years. Since the blast, at least 19 people have been detained, including the port's chief. Even before the blast, Lebanon was in the midst of its worst economic crisis in decades. Dozens of people are still missing, and at the site of the explosion, rescue workers, some of them from other countries, continue the search for survivors. NewsHour Weekend Special Correspondent Layla Molana Allen has more.
Let him come back. Dear God, just let him come back. At the entrance to the Beirut port, the epicenter of Tuesday's explosion, desperate families sit for hours, praying their loved ones will be found. Zainab is waiting for news of her husband who worked here. He hasn't been seen since the blast. Inside, a scene of utter devastation. The acrid stench of burning metal, plastic and chemicals hangs heavy in the air, black ash coating every surface. Packing crates spill out charred, misshapen lumps amid the rising dust, barely recognizable as the freshly imported goods once stacked in these warehouses. A washing machine here, what might have been a glass jug there.
Just a few days ago, this was a thriving port, Beirut's lifeline to the rest of the world. And now, piles of rubble, twisted smoking metal is all that remains.
And underneath that rubble, human beings. These disfigured, crumbling ruins were once Lebanon's national grain reserve. 15,000 tons of wheat and 10,000 of corn were destroyed, now forming an unstable mountain of waste through which rescuers must wade. Dozens of countries have sent rescue teams to help in the effort. These French rescue workers have been digging non-stop for 35 hours to try and reach seven people they believe are buried underneath at least 30 meters of concrete and earth. The conditions are extreme. They're working in full protective gear in 90-degree heat, in air thick with toxic fumes and dust. But even more perilous are the structures on the point of collapse that surround them.
The main danger is from both above and from below. From above, the structure behind could collapse with any vibrations. And from below, when you're looking for the foundations, if you hit the wrong spot, you could get collateral damage.
The risk is so great that the Turkish Red Crescent has set up a field hospital directly behind the search and rescue site. It's not only for retrieved victims, but for the rescue workers in case something goes wrong.
So it's set up just like a real emergency room.
Exactly. Yes, this is like an emergency or a ventilator.
So you have a ventilator here, you have a monitor, anything that people might need for serious injuries.
And the risk isn't just at the port area. The explosion destroyed residential neighbourhoods for miles around. Here in Jemaisi, one of the worst hit, the search is ongoing for both survivors and whatever can be retrieved from people's homes and businesses. But many buildings are now dangerously unstable, risking further collapse and injury. Back at the port, the team are using sniffer dogs to try and find dozens of other missing workers who could be buried along the seashore. Meanwhile, families like Zainab's can only wait, wonder, and hope.
Layla Molana Allen joined us from Beirut earlier today for more on the situation in Lebanon. How is Beirut recovering now?
Beirut is trying to recover. What's happening at the moment is that people are trying to figure out how they're going to live over the next few weeks and then look beyond that. So part of that, obviously, is the reconstruction of homes. So many homes damaged here in the immediate vicinity, completely ravaged. And up to 9 kilometers away, a lot of damage happening. And what we're seeing is this incredible effort of groups of young people, armies really, arming themselves with brooms and spades and striding out into the town, walking down the streets, clearing up, turning up at people's houses and walking in and saying, we want to clean, what can we do? And if there's no one there, they clean up anyway. of course, one of the biggest issues at the moment is still the ongoing injuries in hospitals. Every hospital bed is full, still 60 people, more than 60 people missing, and probably many more than that. That's how many have been reported. So lots of families desperately still looking. Of course, the whole community is just trying to get through the next weeks before they can think about the months and the year after that.
Leila, most of the world has not been paying attention to what's been happening in Lebanon over the past several months. It's also in a state of economic crisis. So who pays for this cleanup? How does this work get done?
So it's estimated at the moment that the damage is $15 billion, which is quite incredible for a country that already was in such dire straits. Right now, the majority of this cleanup on the streets is being done by the people. The only place where the authorities are doing things is down at the port, because the army operates the port. But it's a lot of logistical care, and what we've seen is a lot of international aid coming in. So that started a couple of days ago, and they're just teams from all across the world doing medical care, doing search and rescue.
So you've got pre-existing economic crisis, a pandemic, and now a catastrophe. All of these frustrations are starting to boil over into the streets.
They are. The anger has been palpable the last few days. The posters that have been going around saying, now we do cleanup, but on Saturday, that stops and we clean up the government. We sweep them out. And for the last few hours, they have all been in downtown Beirut. And immediately, the moment the protest started, tear gas was unleashed. Then rubber bullets started. Dozens injured, and the rage that is on the street. I have not seen this level throughout the entire protest movement here. They've now managed to breach part of the parliament wall, which is where the security forces have been trying to keep them away from. There's also obviously a fear of COVID-19, and they've been sent, hospitals have been sending out instructions on how to keep yourself safe in the demonstrations, almost an implicit endorsement of the fact that everybody is out on the streets and angry, so angry at this government.
Leila Milana Allen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Harry.